All right. Woo-hoo-hoo. Yeah. Amen. So praise God. I hope that we are standing on the promises of God. And I love it. My wife picked out those songs before she knew the title of the sermon. Amen. Where we're going to start working at. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. Praise God. That is good news. We're looking at the things that are going on, and it seems like things are weird right now. There are just some strange things going on. It looks like hell's winning right now. I have news, good news for you. The gates of hell are not going to prevail. That doesn't mean there isn't going to be a fight. Doesn't mean that there isn't going to be trouble. Doesn't mean that there isn't a struggle. But I'm telling you, we are more than conquerors through Christ our Savior. Amen. We have a promise from Him. We have a hope. We have a courage of charge. Amen? We are moving forward, not backward. And He says that He's going to build His church. And we're going to look at this and how it looks through the Scripture. And this is going to be one of those long series that we're going to get into. This is not going to be a once-and-done thing, because we're going to look at how God builds the church, what the church is actually made of, and are you part of it? Being conformed into the image of God, becoming a living stone, being picked out of darkness into His glorious light. These are the things that have just popped into my mind about what the building of God is going to do. So when I was thinking about God, Christ is going to build His church, well, first there needs to be a plan. There needs to be a blueprint. And you know where we can find the blueprint? It is in your Bible. It is in your Bible. Every page, every letter of the page, your King James Bible has the layout, the purpose, the plan, and the final kingdom that is made. It is built without hands. We're looking for a building that's built without hands. That's where our hope is. We're not looking for a structure that is made of brick and mortar. We're looking for a spiritual refuge, an everlasting kingdom. And Jesus said that He's going to build that building. He's going to build His church. He's going to call people out of darkness to be part of His everlasting light. That you, Christian, shall be the glory of the King of Kings. You're part of it. You're part of that cloud of witnesses. And we will be getting into that as the Lord allows as we go through this study. As we look at it, I taught this a couple of years ago, and it took a little over a year to go through. I don't know if it's going to take that long this time, because it is a rewind, it is a redo. But as anybody who's ever taught knows that when you redo something, it's absolutely redone. Because what I knew way back then, I have learned since then, right? And so let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for His blessing in this. And Father, we do thank You. We love You. We pray, Father God, even now for Your teaching. Lord, we pray that You would move mighty over Your body, that You would encourage us, Lord Jesus, in these times, that we would be able to stand. And when we have done all that we could do, that we would stand there for putting on the full armor of God. And Lord, we thank You and we praise You for that. I pray that You would speak to your people, your church, and the Spirit, Lord God. Allow me to decrease all the more, that Your word, Your truth would increase. And we would learn to walk by faith as we see You working through faith. Lord, we ask those things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus had been speaking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees when they came to the temple desiring that they should see a sign from heaven. Amen. And so in Matthew chapter 16 in verse 1, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, tempting, desiring Him that He would show them a sign from heaven. And, He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seek after sign, And there shall be no sign. There shall be no, there shall be, I keep putting be there. And there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and he departed. All right. So catch the scene here. Jesus teaching. Folks come up and say, "We show us something. Teach us that you're God." Jesus said, "I ain't going to show you nothing. I'm going to show you something that happened years ago. Sign of Jonas. I'm going to show you those things that, and he will be dead and in the ground 3 days, 3 nights, which was Jonas was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And so that's the sign he was going to show them. Then he starts talking to his disciples. And he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" Right? He just told the Pharisees, "I ain't going to show you nothing." But now he's asking, he's been teaching, he's been preaching for a while. He's been raising the dead. He's been walking on the water. He's been feeding 5,000 people at a time. He's been healing the sick. He's been healing the blind. He's been making the deaf people hear, right? And now he's asking his disciples, "You're out in the crowd. You're out in the people. Who do the people say that I am?" Some say that you're one prophet or you're another prophet. As he goes on saying here, this is a little bit further down in your, and so verse 14, and they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elisha, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." When you ask the world today, who is Jesus? What answers are you getting? And let me ask you this, are you even asking? Because if you ain't asking, you ain't getting any answers. All right? But if you are really walking in the righteousness of God, teaching, trying to make disciples the way the Lord has told us to make disciples and teach, he asked us to ask people, "Who do people say that Jesus is?" I bet you a lot of folks would say that he is the Savior that died for the sin of mankind. They would say that. Let me ask you to ask them, do they consider him the Lord? Amen. You can, even the demons confess that he's the Savior. Even the demons confess that he's the Lord. Even the demons fear and tremble at the name of Jesus Christ. But the demons ain't saved. There's a lot of people that call themselves born-again believers that have no real reverence of God. They have no real understanding of the kingdom. They have no real depth to their conviction. They say things, but they really don't mean what they say. A little bit further on, as Jesus continues to talk to them, and he says, "But whom do ye say that I am?" All right, this is for the church. Not who does the world say that Jesus is, because they may have it wrong. How about the believers, the truly repented in Jesus? Who do you say that he is? Kevin, who do you say that he is? Who is Jesus?
Life itself.
His life itself. Amen. Well, that's true. All right, he is life itself. But is that all he is? Is that it?
He's the creator of all things.
Creator of all things. Amen. But is that it?
The Christ.
He's the Christ. Thank you. Because the answer's right there. The answer's right here in the scripture. Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That confession, that belief, all right, that he is indeed the Messiah that was spoken of from the very first time that God promised that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent and that he would pierce the heel of her seed. From that promise of the Messiah, before the foundations of the world, that promise of the Messiah, the Savior of all of the world would come because all of the world was falling into sin. And God knew it before he started it. And he said, "I'm going to send a Messiah, a Savior, a Christ. One that would be not only willing, but able to pay for the sin debt of the whole world." See, there's a difference of being willing and being able. You might be willing to do something, but are you able? See, Christ was not only willing, but he was able because he was the Lamb of God, the perfect Son of God, to die for the sin of the world. And he said, upon this, I will build my church. We're going to look at this a little bit as we get into this a little bit. And Jesus said unto him, unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So, even coming to the understanding that Jesus is all of that, if you know it, that's not something you came up with out of your own mind. Peter had been walking with Jesus, eating with Jesus. He's seen him do all of these miracles. But it still took the Spirit of the living God to reveal the reality of who Jesus was to a man who was walking with him. If you are born again today, if you have this belief, if you have this knowledge in your heart and in your mind that Jesus is the Son of the living God, it was given to you by the Spirit of the living God, brought to you by the Father of the living God, that you might understand the power of the living God for the payment of sin for a lost and dying world. Those things, they come up and they come in you, not because you thought that you knew it, but because it was revealed to you by somebody outside of this time-space continuum. The coming to the understanding of this is not me by witnessing to people. It is by the Father moving over them and granting them the belief, granting them the power of faith, granting them the sight in the midst of the darkness to know that Jesus is more than just a name. He's more than just in my pocket and I can get what I want out of him. He is indeed God manifested in the flesh, born to die that you might live. That's only revealed to you by the Father, by the Spirit moving over top of you. You cannot come to that understanding about Jesus building his church without the Spirit of God moving over you first. And when the Spirit of God moves over you first, there should be a difference in your life. Amen? Because it's more than just a head knowledge. This is a penetrating, kind of like a dry sponge in a bucket of water. You start getting filled with the water as God takes that dried up prune of you and starts putting something into you that makes you able to absorb the truths of God. Praise God for this. I just thought of it. And then God picks up that sponge and rains you out on a dry and thirsty land. Amen? That is the ideal of the church, the kingdom of God being in the church, where the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I love this because as he keeps on talking to Simon, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now he's not talking about the guy, the person Peter. The church is not built on Peter. The church is built on the confession that Peter made, that Jesus was the Messiah, is the Messiah, not was. You got to stop using the past tense because he's still the Savior today. He's still building the church today. It ain't over, folks. It ain't over until he comes back and he calls the church to be with him. So every day, he's working in you, on you, through you to express his love, his grace, his power, his might to a lost and dying world. That confession, that belief that Jesus is indeed God manifested in flesh, that he is the Son of the living God, Jesus says, I will build my church up on that, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Praise God. Doesn't that just make you a little excited? Amen? That the gates on that confession, in that belief, in that walk, that there is no devil in hell, that there's no power of unrighteousness, that there's no leader of this world that will prevail against the kingdom of God. Now, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. Amen. But I'm not worried about this world. I am told to seek my mind is on the kingdom of God. I need to seek the kingdom of God first and foremost. The building of God, the love of God, the power of God, more than anything I see on this planet. I see wars and rumors of wars. I see pestilence and famines all over the place. We're talking about Haiti this morning, right? It's horrible what's going on there. But there are people that are dying and going to heaven, people that are dying and going to hell. The kingdom of God is going to prevail in that situation. When Jesus comes, he's going to fix it. The things that are going on in Israel right now, all right? I don't know all the ins and outs on the spiritual realm, but I know that when Jesus comes, he's going to fix it. The power, the Russia and Ukrainian war, and I hear all of that garbage, which I really, truly, in my inner man, I think it's just a mirage. I really do. I think it's a mirage. Now, are there people actually dying? Yes, there are. Is there actual bombs going off? Yes, there is. But is there a power in the heavenly realms that's doing this? Yes, there is. Absolutely. The thing that's going on in Haiti, it's not about barbecue. It's not about him doing it. And if you didn't know, the crazy guy that's in charge of Haiti right now is a guy named Barbecue. He's a cannibal. Right? And so he's a professed cannibal. You know, he... anyhow... That's how he got his name. When he was... Anyhow, stop that. All that doesn't matter because God has a plan. The gates of hell... We're looking at the thing and it looks like the gates of hell is winning right now against the kingdom of God. You look at the chaos that's going on around the world. These young men that are going missing. And we're looking at this and we're looking at the turmoil. No matter how bad it gets, God is greater and more powerful. His plan is going to be victorious. And all we got to do is believe that Jesus is God, that he has a plan, and he's going to get us from here to there and walk in that. See, believing it is more than just the confession of it. It is an actual humbling yourself under the hand of the Most High God. So in any plan, in any construction work, who here's ever built anything, right? Did you first have a blueprint for it? All right, so you go, like you used to build the salt barns and stuff like that. You just didn't go out to a field and say, well, this looks like a good place. We're going to put up a salt barn. No, there's a guy that had the land, and he said, this is by the road. This is where we're going to do it. This is strategically placed, and I have a plan. First thing we're going to do is we're going to remove the topsoil from the area. We're going to dig foundations, and we're going to make a foundation. When we get everything starting, before we start actually building, we're going to set a cornerstone that's going to be perfect, square, and everything will be shot off of that point. Amen? I built a lot of things with the Nichols team. It's a construction company there in Rochester, Henrietta, in fact. And so in that Nichols team, every time that we built something, we had a stub, a place in the ground, we shot lasers to it, and that line had to always remain the same. And no matter what we built came off of that line. That line was plumb, that line was square, that line was perfect. It could be considered a cornerstone. And on the cornerstone, everything else was built from that. Praise God, Jesus is the cornerstone. So this building that God's going to build, it first starts with Jesus Christ. It starts with his perfection. It starts with his heartbeat. It starts with his love. It starts with him being everything, him being the Son of God. And in that, the gates of hell shall not prevail. And he goes in verse 19 and says, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Jesus, in that point, is giving the those who believe that he is indeed the Christ, the signet ring, the power of heaven, the authority. It's the authority. I don't have the power to, well, actually, the Bible says I do. I was going to say the power to raise the dead and heal the sick. I believe that in the latter reign, in the beginning of the church, there was the initial reign of the Holy Spirit, and the apostles, only those who were the apostles, had the power to heal. I believe that because you read it in the Bible. I know that in Joel talks about a latter reign that's going to happen, and in that latter reign, we're going to be able to do things. I don't know what that looks like. I'm not going to get into that. But in my heart, in my understanding of the scripture, if I'm alive in that time, I'm going to be endowed with special abilities from the power of God. Not that I can do anything of myself, but I will be able, and you will be able, if you're there, to meet people in the middle of their hurt and minister to them. All right? That you'll be able, Mark tells you that you'll be able to tread on serpents. And he's talking about devils. All right? I don't think he's talking about rattlesnakes, all right? That you'll be able to drink any poisonous thing. All right, so these airplanes that are flying through the sky and painting their poison up in the sky, chemtrails, stuff like that, the Bible tells me that I pray over my food and it'll be okay. All right, because I can't stop them from doing that. There ain't nothing I can do about that. That's what they're doing. I can't stop it. You know what I believe? I believe that God said that I can eat any poisonous thing. I'm not telling you to go out and get hemlock and chew on a piece. That's stupid. Don't tempt the Lord thy God. But when you do live a life that is holy and separated for God, that you are endowed with power to live when the authority of hell is poured out on the earth, you'll be able not only to live, but to thrive, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? That's a promise from God. I can't stop it, all right? But what I can do is believe, walk by faith. They're putting fluoride in the water. If you do not know, fluoride is poison. But where are you going to get any water that doesn't have it in it? Because it's being dumped out in the skies now. So now it's even polluting the water in the wells, right? And that pollution is everywhere. So what do I need to do? Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. I pray to him, Lord, bless this glass of water I'm about ready to drink. I know it's full of aluminum. I know it's full of poisons of all different kinds. Glory to God, I'm thirsty. You know? And guess what? I'll be able to drink it. All right, now I know my Baptist friends are thinking that, wow, he's going all charismatic. No, I'm not going charismatic. I'm not going to start speaking in tongues. All right. I trust God is more powerful than the powers of this world that are coming against Christ. And in that I have the authority, the keys over life and death, over heaven and hell. I can bind it on the earth. That doesn't mean that I'm going to bind Satan out of what Satan's going to do. But through the authority that's in Christ Jesus, I'm going to adjust my life to the kingdom of God. And there's no weapon that's formed against me that shall prosper. Amen? Amen. That's my faith. That's what I believe. I believe I can find it in Scripture. I can show it to you. I'm there. I'm locked in. You're not going to be able to move me off that spot. Why? Because God said it. God said it, that settles it. So, he is going to build a church. Amen? Christ shall build his church. And I love it that it's his church, it ain't mine. There are so many pastors out there that say, open door, that's my church. And well, actually, it probably is that guy's church. But anybody who's really following God doesn't take the authority. This is not my church. Charity Bible ain't my church. I'm just a tool that God used to start the wheel rolling. That's it. That's it. I am part of the church. I'm no different than you. Bonnie, I'm no different than you. Me and you, we're the same. Only you're better looking, right? Smarter, taller. You got a lot of ers on your side. Right? But there's no difference between me and you. I just happen to be the mouth. You know, but the mouth is no good without its hands and its feet and its arm and all the other things that God takes to build it. And the more we get to know him, the more realization we'll have in that. So there's a blueprint, there's a plan. Ephesians chapter 2, 19 through 22 talks about the foundations. Amen. So if you open up, flip your Bible over to Ephesians. I guess I could have went to 1 Corinthians first, but Ephesians where we're heading. Because that's how I wrote it on the board, no particular reason. Say amen when you get... Oh, I flipped by it. Say amen when you get there. Amen. All right. I have verse 19 through 22. We'll read that, but then we need to go back to verse 1. All right. Well, I guess I can start here. You he hath quickened. Those who have faith in Jesus Christ, because the Father has moved on over you and touched your heart and your mind, you were once dead in your sins, he made you alive. You, he hath quickened. Who here is quickened? I'm not talking about fast, I'm just talking about alive. Amen? If you are not trusting Jesus Christ, if you don't have this, well, thank you, Lord, for that, I just thought of it. When Lord was talking to Peter, he says, I give you the keys of the kingdom and over death. You were dead until the Father moved over you and he breathed life into you. Now you're alive. You were dead and he quickened you. He made you alive. Now, were you breathing? Were you, you know, as a baby crying and screaming and wanting your Baba when you're 50 years old and you're still crying and screaming and wanting your Baba, or 60, whatever? God moved over you, you little crybaby, and he loved you in the middle of your mess and he gave you the authority to become alive. He quickened you. Amen? He quickened you. He made you alive. All right? Who were dead in trespasses and sin. And so we'll get back in the we're in past according to the course of this world. That's how you walk. But in what I'm talking about here, 19 through 22, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but citizens with the saints and the household of God. You are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. All right? There's a lot there. And though just that little bitty bit of scripture that we went over right there. Now therefore, so what is therefore there for? All the stuff before that. Amen. So if we would just, what's that when you play the album backwards and there's a real message? Anyhow, the back in the 70s, it had this weird thing about records, and if you spun them backwards, it'd say different stuff. Yeah, back masking. That's not what this is. But what I'm telling you, we're going to take it from this idea that Jesus is the chief cornerstone and that he's building a particular people for a particular cause, that we might be the building of God, that we might be the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And if you go backwards from there, like verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Okay? You're being built. He said, you were once a stranger, you were once a foreigner, but through Christ, you have access by one Spirit to the Father. Through Christ, you were once dead in your sin, he made you alive. This is the church that Jesus is building. This is not a building constructed by man. This is a building constructed by God. It is a spiritual home, for God is Spirit, and you must worship him. That's John chapter 4, right? God is Spirit. You must worship him in spirit and in truth. So in that, God's got to move over a dead person. When God moves over the dead person, he calls you by name. You can take this lightly in that in Ezekiel over the dry bones, all right? There's a lot of different stuff. But you as an individual, God moved over you. You were dry up. You were just as dry parched. There was no life in you at all. You were dead in your trespasses and sin. God moved over you and he spoke to you. Dean, he called you by name. He said, hey, Dean, I love you. Want to come alive? Dean said, I don't know. Can something life come out of death? God said, I can make it happen. And then he made you grow. You ain't there yet, but you're getting closer. Amen? I'm not there yet, but I'm getting closer. He's putting me together. He's putting us together. And you know when he starts calling Paul, when he started calling you, how big of a mess were you?
Pretty big.
Pretty big, all right? And so what did God have to do to you to make you fit into this particular body?
Show me the truth.
Show you, and when that truth got showed to you, what had to leave? Everything else.
Oh, right,
yeah. You know? He conformed you to fit inside of a body. I love that because Jesus is the great master builder, right? And he took an old, rough, ugly rock, and I'm still rough and ugly, don't get me wrong on that, but he took the outside of me that was filled with sin and death and corruption, and he saw something in me, and he said, I'm going to choose that stone. And then he started working on me. Amen. Started making me into a stone, a living stone. First Peter, you are living stones, and we're being conformed into the image of God to make a spiritual house for the Father. That's the building that Jesus is making. So he found you, Alan. He said, Alan, I got a lot of work for that boy. He thought he was born a Christian. Right and wrong. Amen. Right. And so he said, I'm going to move over top of him. And I'm going to start cutting off that dead stuff. I'm going to start whittling him down. I'm going to form him and beat him and mold him and shape him into a tool that will fit into a particular place inside of a particular body and to make the building of God. And that happens to all of us in each minute different ways. Each and all of us have got to be changed from who we were into whom he can use us in. And so he conforms us into his image minute by minute, a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, so that we might be the new man, verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enemy, even the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself the twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both God in one body by the cross. All right? He's making one body through the cross of Jesus Christ, one building through the cross of Jesus Christ, one soul through the cross of Jesus Christ, through many broken, empty enemies of God. He conforms you into the likeness of his Son and makes us a living, conscionable thing, a living organism. Amen. And that he might reconcile both to God in one body by the cross, slaying the enemy thereby, and came and preached peace to you who were far off and to them that were nigh. So Jesus came as Christ, the Messiah, for one particular reason: to take the old and to take the new, to bring them together in the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ is the bridge that spreads that spans the gap that no man could conquer, that no man could cross. So Jesus came and he put his arms on both sides. Lost man, saved man, the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of heaven. And I'm going to make a way where there was no way, where there could be no way. And any man who believes on me, in me, is part of that new building. He makes it a way where you can get to be the building of God. As you die to yourself, as you quit, as he, I guess I need to put, dying to yourself is a real biblical thing. But there is an illumination, okay, that comes as I know about God, and God does the work in me, convincing me what sin is and what righteousness is. It's God that does the work. It's Christ that brings us from darkness to light. It's Christ that conforms us from death, or brings us from death to life. And believing in Jesus as God manifested in flesh, loving us so much to start that building in you. Paul said that he didn't make it yet. Well, he's made it now, you know. But while he was alive, he said he didn't know for sure. But one thing I do is I'm going to forget those things that are behind. We need to come to the truth of Jesus Christ, forgetting the dead things. All right? I'm no longer enslaved by this world. God has made me alive. He changed me. He took me out of death and gave me life. He took me out of darkness and gave me light. He took me out of the snares of Satan and gave me true liberty, not through my ability, but through his love for me, for you, because it ain't all about me. Well, actually, it is. But you could put me in that space. You could say me. God loved you individually enough to call you individually by name. He loved you enough that he could share his light in you, on you. He conformed you because he loved you, that you might become the building of God, the church. And I'm no Greek guy. All I know Greek is a salad, right? And it's pretty tasty. But from what I understand about other folks who do know Greek, it's called ecclesia or ecclesia or something like that. I don't know. Ecclesia. Anyhow, There's a Greek word that means called out. God called you out. God called you out. God called Peter out. Out of all of the apostles and all that kind of stuff that were there, when Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said this, and then Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" The Father, God, only moved over one person at that time and gave them the courage to say what the Spirit of God had said to them, that you are the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah. You are the Christ. And it took God moving over one person, empowering one person to make that confession that all people might hear it. Amen? God moved over you. He changed you. He moved in your heart. He brought you out of darkness into light. I've said that before. That is the beginning of the building of Christ. And now, remember, right after that, Jesus talks about going and dying for the sin of mankind, and Peter says, "Not so, Lord." And what did Jesus say to him? "Get behind me, Satan." Yeah. Now, in the same paragraph, in the same subject, he said, "You're the rock. That confession is the rock that I'm going to build the church." And then right in the same breath, he denies Jesus going to the cross.
Something in that, man.
There's a lot in that. There's a lot in that in me. There's a lot of that in you. Praise God that he's working. And God didn't give up on Peter then. He didn't say, "Get away from me." No, he told the Spirit that was in him. So even though Peter had the knowledge of God, the Spirit of God had moved over him.
Yeah.
Right? Had already spoke to him about who Jesus was. In that same breath, Peter said, "Well, Jesus, not so. If you are a Christian,
in a matter of minutes,
it's within the same conversation. There's not a day and a night going through here. It's within the same conversation in the matter of minutes. Jesus said, Satan has entered you. The truth of the Spirit that was on you, now I've got to rebuke you because your mindset is not the mindset of God." Church, where's your mind at? All right? Where's your mind at? Where is your focus? It's more than just confessing it. It's when the enemy comes in with a lie. "Jesus, you don't got to go. You ain't got to die for the sin of man. Let it not be so." Well, then that's Satan talking through you. That's the devil talking through you, church. You're not going to go through the tribulation. That's the devil talking through you, church. That you'll never, wealth and prosperity, nothing but rainbows and unicorns for all of you guys. That's the devil talking through you. God says you got to die that you might live. All right? Now, he's not talking that I got to go jump in front of a truck that I might live. No, if I do that, I'm going to die. Especially if it's a big truck, small truck, I might live, limp a little bit. Jesus said, "I've got to die to me, to my lust, to my desires. Anything that is not of Christ. If I'm going to be his church, when Jesus says he's got to go to the cross, I can't say, let it not be so. I've got to say, okay, God, you're God. I'm not. I don't understand all of it. The wars and rumors of wars going on, people experiencing death, the wickedness that is all over, I mean, when we stop and we look with our physical eyes, there's not much light. But those who are really in Christ will say, Jesus is building his kingdom. He's going to build his church. The wickedness, the gates of hell, the authority of hell will not prevail because God is in charge. Jesus is in charge. Doesn't matter what it looks like in my mind. Doesn't matter. So he says in Ephesians 2:19, it talks about Jesus being the chief cornerstone. Then he talks about the prophets, and you can go to Isaiah. We will later. Isaiah, and then the prophet or the apostles, Acts chapter 4, 8 through 12. And then in any building, you need laborers. You need labor. And not just any, well, actually, any laborer would work, but you need to have a skilled laborer to start with. Paul says, I was a master builder. Paul was the master builder. I'm not a master builder. I'm just a laborer. I'm the guy who toes the bucket of mud to the guy who's laying the brick. But you need somebody to tote the bucket of mud. Bucket of mud. Thank you. I'm only dyslexic in my reading. I'm dyslexic in my talking also. I don't even know if I could say that again that way. Anyhow.
Bucket of
mud. We need all hands on deck. You may not think that you're very important. Well, I'm only the guy who mixes the mud. I'm not even the guy who carries the mud to the bricklayer. But the guy who mixes the mud needs to put it in the bucket so the guy who carries the mud can bring it to the master bricklayer to set the stones. You're all needed individually. You're all needed. There's no halfway lukewarm Christian. Either you're in or you're out. And I don't care if you're doing the least of this part, because Paul also talks about the body of Christ. How can the eye say to the hand or the ear? Or how can the mouth say to the, I don't know, some other part of your body? How can the foot say to the hand that you're not worthy? All parts are needed. We need each other that we might not just understand the kingdom of God, but to be the kingdom of God. Right here, right now, on this earth, that we need each other, and we need all of us all the way in. All of us need to be all the way in. There's no such thing as a half-in, half-out Christian. Either you're in or you're out. We know through the Revelation, because they were lukewarm, what did he do? Spew, spit, vomit. I don't care which translation you use, none of it's good. I don't want to be God's spit. I don't want to be God's spewage. Don't want to be God's vomit. You know? I would prefer that you were one side or the other. But because you were lukewarm, I spewed you out of my mouth. Right? I don't want to be that. So make up your mind today who you're going to serve. Be confident that God is building his church and you are part of it. Now, being part of it, that gives you certain duties. That gives you certain responsibilities. God hasn't called any of us to be born again to sit here. You know that? God didn't call any of us to be a pew warmer, or we have seats. You have a job to do. You're called for a purpose. You know, what if your eye doesn't see? It's really not worth very much, right? But God will take that blind eye and make it where it can see if you'll just trust in him. God will take you and make you a viable part of the body of Christ if you'll just get off of your derriere and do the work that God's calling you to do. None of us are called not to do something. If you're going to be part of the building, if you're going to be part of the plan, if you're going to be part of the labor force, where you may say, well, I'm old, I can't do anything. I'm sorry, I'm not pointing at you personally. But I'm old, I can't do anything. You know what you can do? You can pray. You may be too old to carry the bucket of mud, but you know what? You can definitely carry the water, right? You can definitely carry the Spirit of God. You can definitely pray for one another. You can definitely do whatever it is that God's called you to, but if you're not part, then you can't do it. If you don't know the need, if you don't come and part of the body of Christ. Anyhow, that's getting off on a different subject. It's that time. This is the beginning of the teaching. All right? This is just the start of it. We could have went back chapter 2 and worked this all the way through. Any book of the New Testament, you will find how God is wanting to build his church, how he's asking us to be conformed into his image. I chose Ephesians. There's a lot more. Isaiah 28, that about the prophets and Jesus being the cornerstone. Amen. That's a great teaching. We will get to that. The apostles in Acts chapter 4, how God chose them to work and through that. And so this will be up here until we get through with that, and then we will move on from it. I love you. I'm sweating bullets now.
I don't know why, but it happens. Anyhow, I love you guys. And I don't want you to come short of any spiritual gift. I don't want you to come short of being used by God. There is no greater honor than to be a tool in the hand of the Most High God. And whatever He's called you to do, do it. And understand who you are in Christ and apply that to your life in a real person, a real personal way. Dear Lord, we do love You. We praise You. We thank You, Lord God, for Your word. I pray, Lord Jesus, over this series of teachings that we're going to go through, Lord, that we would learn how to be upon this foundation of the apostles and prophets. Lord, that we would learn how to readjust our life, our sight, to the cornerstone, which is Christ Himself, that we might be fitly framed together, that we, Lord, would grow unto a holy temple in the Lord. Lord, help us to look for that and make the adjustments that are necessary as You give us direction. In Jesus' name, amen.